1027 Business with Michael Avery.
The law feature on Hot Business is brought to you by leading full-service law firm Webber Wentzel. Through an alliance with Linklaters and relationships with law firms across Africa, Webber Wentzel ensures that you have the best expertise wherever you do business. Now, as we know, we've been focusing quite heavily on the build-up to COP26, which is around 2 weeks away. As the world is in the grip of an energy crisis, with gas, coal and electricity prices in recent weeks rising to their highest levels in decades. And this happens as this COP is billed as the climate finance fight, or the climate finance COP. And I say a fight because so far developing countries have been sold short of their annual promise of around $100 billion in climate funding. Well, to talk about what this means, what a just transition means for South Africa in this context, I'm joined again by Paula Anne Novotny, Senior Associate at Webber Wentzel. Paula Anne, great to have you back on the show. Why is this year's COP so important from a climate finance perspective?
Hi, Michael. Thanks. It's so good to be back. I think you've touched on one of them. So it's really twofold. And one is holding the developed countries to account in terms of the commitments they made to assisting us as developing countries in reaching that transition effectively to a low carbon economy. And so to date, there have been severe difficulties in allocating, tracking, and having some sort of an enforcement mechanism of how to hold those developed nations to task in providing that funding. But second to that is really around the mitigation goals of each of the member states and how they've been seen as inadequate to date. So there's some interesting stats around this area in terms of the pledges or the NDCs that states have put forward to reach that net carbon zero by 2050. And experts in the market say that ours will never meet that, and we need to cut emissions by more than 60% of what our current plans are to do that. And to effectively reach that net zero goal, we're going to need about $3 to $4 trillion. So that's why this whole financing aspect from both a developed and developing nation perspective will be crucial this year.
Absolutely. And it only is fair and equitable for developing countries who haven't yet reached developed nation status to ask for the developed world to support them when the developed world has industrialized effectively on the back of these emissions over decades, if not centuries. What do you see as some of the sticking points around climate finance at the negotiations?
I think it's the backtrack that many countries, including us, are taking on the renewable energy stance. So front of mind comes Minister Mantashe's stern reliance on our coal agenda and his points about holding the developed countries to task and not imposing conditions on their finance or funding assistance to us. So in our last session, you'll remember we touched on the envoy that visited and they put in place quite a few conditions on providing South Africa with the funding that's necessary to assist us. And his view is that we cannot have a conditional financing arrangement and that we cannot say no to coal at this stage in our transition period because we still need it.
And in fact, that dovetails with what Alan Pullinger, the CEO of First Rand, was saying last week as well. It's a transition. We can't just stop funding coal overnight. We can't turn off our coal-powered stations overnight. We're a country that is energy insecure as it is. And so that really does form a big part of these conversations. If you look at our financing needs, what would you say are our total needs? You mentioned that $3 trillion, was it dollar number earlier? Is that correct? Is that for South Africa alone?
No, so that's the international target. So I think it's between $3 to $4 trillion at the moment. For South Africa, it's a very high billion rand figure. So in August last year, we published and adopted our adaptation strategy. And that strategy speaks to an upwards figure of 300 billion rand for South Africa to reach its just transition goals and to have a just transition to a low carbon economy in which our society is resilient. And so that's not only from a climate financing perspective in terms of supporting renewable energy agendas or reduced emission agendas, but it's also from that social inclusion and adaptation function in terms of all the other sectors in South Africa that need to be improved with resourcing or capacities and capabilities in order to have a resilient transition.
We see a proposed new bill released last week as well, which really dovetails with this. It's all about climate change. It's the climate change bill, but it's about introducing a higher carbon tax rate for businesses that failed to reduce emissions. What does that entail specifically around the level of carbon taxes? And what's important here for companies and large emitters to be aware of to help reduce that tax burden?
So the first thing will be is to understand exactly how the legislation is developing and changing in this space. So our Carbon Tax Act, which was published in 2019, remains enforceable as law, and our big emitters are already having to pay their carbon tax levies on an annual basis under that act. What the Climate Change Bill will seek to do is completely reform the pollution prevention strategy under our Air Quality Act. So we have a current regime in terms of mandatory greenhouse gas reporting, and that feeds into how you calculate your carbon taxes. And what this bill will seek to do once it changes is to flip everything in its head and identify sectoral emission targets for our biggest emitters and allocate carbon budgets to them outside of this current regime that we now know. So everything will change. Sectors will be regulated according to how much they emit and how much of an impact they have on us meeting our international commitments. And they will then be allocated carbon budgets to report against. And obviously that will influence the carbon tax regime. So it's implementable likely from January 2023. So the large emitters have been not allowed a grace period, but sort of this pilot trial period by the Department of Environmental Affairs since last year, in order to trial how this new carbon budget system will be working so that everyone's ready for implementation.
Lots of work still to do for those heavy emitters, and I think anyone in Joburg with the winds today would be well aware of that sulfur dioxide that was blowing in from Sasol's operations, and it's been in the news a lot of late. Well, that was Paula Ann Novotny, Senior Associate at Weber Wenzel, with what a just transition means for South Africa as we build up to COP26. The Law Feature is always brought to you by Weber Wenzel. With over 150 years of experience and deep industry knowledge, Weber Wenzel is the leading full-service law firm on the African continent.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.